This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the 1912 Exiles, the Newport County podcast that's made by the fans for the fans. I'm your host Ian tonight, and we are going to be looking at another one of our close season specials. So as many of you might know, due to where I live up in Leeds and the life that I've got and family and all that sort of stuff, you're far more likely to see me at Barrow Away on a Friday night than you will on a Saturday afternoon at the parade. And often when I do that, you know, sparse attendance sometimes, but you'll see regular faces. And as a big shout out, I'd like to say here to all the sort of regular home and awayers, impressive what you do. It really is getting around the country and supporting the boys. But also you see other faces, and a friendly face that you always see is Newport County photographer Nick Johns, who's agreed to join me for a little bit of a chat today. We're going to look at something different, which is photography and match photography and what her role is. So welcome, Nick. Welcome to the pod.
Thanks, Ian. Shabai. Nice to chat with you.
I guess my first question for you, Nick, is how did this come about? Were you a Newport County fan first and then eventually became the sort of club photographer, or were you a photographer who then became a Newport County fan? How did that work for you? What came first? Like chicken and egg question, isn't it? What was first?
It is a little bit, to be honest. It was a little bit of both, to be honest. So it's definitely a football fan first, but was always found with a camera in my hand. Hated being in front of the camera, as most photographers do. So it was easier to be behind the camera, taking the photos instead. And it just became a bit of a natural progression with the family, to be honest. I'm married to a football fan. I've got a son who's played football all through his life. And as we followed him, just naturally started taking photos, and it just sort of evolved from there a little bit, to be honest. We live about 8 miles outside Newport. So Newport's, it's a sort of catch 22 between Newport and Cardiff. But I know, dare I say it, but being where we are, it's always sort of more Newport side. And we've got a lot of friends who've been big Newport fans all through their lives. And we just sort of got caught up in it. Because of my son's football, we only really got to ad hoc games as and when we could. But I started doing a little bit with the Newport County Academy scouting program back about 2015-16, I think it was. And from that, obviously, I started getting more and more involved in the club and what was going on and people around it. And then from there, we actually got invited to the Great Escape game as the Academy group. Obviously, sat in the busy watching that game, and I just got completely and utterly hooked. And it was around the time my son had sort of moved into proper senior football. It wasn't cool to have your mum hanging about with you. So it was just quite nice. I saw the job advert come up on the Newport County website and thought, could I do it?
I could do that.
I submitted a portfolio, and I was lucky enough to get an interview with Hayley, who was media manager at that time, and Alex, who was CEO. And the rest is history. I was very lucky to be offered a break. Had some fantastic help from the guys at the club starting out. And it went from there. I think the first match then was the very first one after that Great Escape game, which was the, I think it was Crew Away, I think in the August of 2017.
Wow. Love that. That's great. It's great that the Great Escape was almost like your start
it's
in, wasn't
trigger
it?
Point, yeah.
That's brilliant.
It's got a lot to answer for.
He's got a blood pressure for a lot of us. And I'm really interested, Nick. So when you for a lot of us now it's close season and when the fixture list came out, you know, a few weeks ago, probably many of us get our diaries out, you know, and particularly for me, someone who doesn't live in Newport, so I have to sort of work out, oh, which games are falling, which games are up in the north, which ones are falling for me. But I guess for you, it's a whole different ball game, isn't it? So, like, what you know, when the fixture list comes out, what does that look like for you? What do you do? How do you plan what the season's going to look like?
I'm very lucky to have very, very understanding family and friends, and also workmates and employee and boss as well, because I work full time as well. So my company gives me flexi time, which means I can build up some toilet I can use, because otherwise I'd just smash my holiday entitlement. Family, friends, colleagues tend to know, don't book anything on a Saturday or a Tuesday night during the season, because I sort of make that commitment and I try to stand by it. It's usually one or two games I can't get to, but for the main, I book my calendar out and it's booked out then. So it does take a little bit of organising, because things like midweek matches when you're in Barrow on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
It means a couple of days off work as opposed to just a sort of evening. That's part of the fun of it, isn't it? I love it, to be honest. It's great fun. It's, you know, the away day package is all part of it for me.
Yeah, and something you said there, which I knew about, but I think might surprise a lot of people, Nick, is that, you know, you do this for the love of it, but you've got an actual full-time job. You know, that this isn't, you know, it's not doing the stuff for Newport that's paying your bills. It's your full-time job, isn't it? And I think that might surprise some people, because I think that some seem to think that, you know, people who work for the club swan around in gold player Mercedes, staying in first-class hotels while the players have to hitchhike to games. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I have to juggle, but you've got a hell of a juggling act to do there. So it's all power to you. And thank goodness you've got a work crew who will let you have that flexibility, which is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it says a lot about the club as well, that there's always been quite a strong team of volunteers based around the media group that are able to give that sort of time. You know, they've got the passion, they've got the enthusiasm, not for the particular subject just, but also for the club itself. And we've been really lucky. We've had it's been a few years I've been with the club now, but you know, you look at the likes of the people we had from the club in the times of Tim Thwaites, Glyn, you know, we've had some really fantastic volunteers. And many of the volunteers, I have to say, it's one thing I shout about is we're quick to knock the club for things. But one of the great things we do is we develop people, and the amount of youngsters that come through the system and start volunteering the club. Young Alfie, who's come through now, started doing a bit of graphic design and is now moving on to it being more of a career path. We've seen youngsters go on to the likes of Leeds United.
I was going to say one of the lads is up at Leeds now, isn't he, started with Newport?
Yeah, we've seen one lad go on to go to the FIFA World Cup, working for FIFA. You know, youngsters have gone on to things like F1, matchday boxing, things like that. Really, really talented youngsters coming through, and what we are brilliant at is giving them a pathway to develop and move them on. And some people see that as a negative, but I see it as a real plus point of what the club does, to be honest.
Absolutely. And it links nicely to the last pod that Ed did around, you know, county in the community. You know, that's it's a different type of community. But what we're saying there is we're giving opportunities, you know, to young people in Newport and the surrounding areas, and getting them on a starting point to a career, which is fabulous, isn't it? I mean, that's brilliant. You know, again, it's something that people won't necessarily know about.
And for me, it's great, especially the youngsters, because it does give them maybe an option to a career path they hadn't thought about or didn't know how to get into. But also for the older ones, like myself, you know, who's just looking for something that, you know, they want to take their passion a little bit further. They want to get more involved in it. They want to learn from it. It's one of the great things that this sort of role has given me, is that I can link up with people, and you know, the amount of learning I've done. I look back at my photos from 2017 to now and go, wow, what a difference, you know, and I'm my own biggest critic. So to be able to see that yourself, and see what, you know, what the club is able to give people outside of just the football itself is brilliant.
Yeah, I love that. So it's interesting to know that you're saying yourself, you can see how you've developed as a photographer in the time that you've been doing it, which is great as well, isn't it? Because, you know, my thing is, you know, it's a bit of a cliche that every day is a school day, but you know, you're never too old to stop learning and improving. And I think that's it's a fabulous attitude to have, that, Nick. It's great to hear. So pre-season, which we're in now, you're making up to Sheffield on a Friday night might be a bit of a push for you tomorrow, mightn't it? But I'll be at that.
It is. I'll have to rely on you for some photos, then, to be honest.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Sorry. But we're in pre-season. So what does that mean for you? Because I guess there's all sorts of other different stuff that's going on there, isn't there? Player signings and training camps and all that sort of player reveals and all this sort of stuff. What's your role there? What do you do around pre-season?
Yeah, I mean, pre-season's a manically busy time for everybody in the club, but especially within the media department, you know, between things like sign-ins, things like training, trying to get pre-season training coverage out on the social media, things like kit launches, commercial events, we've had a few of those already, and just sort of starting to get people excited for what's coming up, but also to start building up for ourselves a little bit of a catalogue, because it's, as the gaffer said today, we're only 3 weeks away from start of season. Yeah. And that first home game, and we want to start getting some material in so that we can start sharing that and things like programmes and what have you with the fans. We're quite lucky. We had pre-season games all booked up and given to us well in advance. The gaffer and his team were really well organised with that.
Great stuff. And what's it like actually working with the players then, Nick? Because, I mean, you know, I'm not somebody who, you know, knows players, never have done. You know, I'm somebody who stands on the terrace watching. And, you know, I think people might have a view of players, good, bad or indifferent. You know, we certainly see that on the pod. But what you know, I know you can't generalise, but what's it like working with them? Are they amenable to sort of working with yourself, or are they a bit grudging about it, or any insights around what that's like for people?
I've been really lucky, to be honest, because I know, you know, there are stories out there of there being some difficult players to work with, but I've got to be honest, I've been so lucky at Newport. Between players and managers, really have been blessed with a fantastic group. That's being honest, they're all very amenable. They've got to put up with me sticking a big 500 mil lens in their face every time they turn round. So it is usually a bit of banter. It is a little bit a case. You do get to know, and it's good to know the players as well to a certain level, because you get to understand that some players do like to come out and have their little bit of time pre-match or, you know, after the match, just to sort of get their heads, you know, they might be sort of replaying things that have happened in the match or getting prepared for it. And you get to learn that, the little nuances and what have you. And obviously you respect that professional relationship at the end of the day between us. But I haven't come across any players at Newport. And to be honest, I haven't really come across any with visiting teams. Even when we've had the Premiership teams, they've gone out of their way to be so amenable to, you know, having photos taken and posing and what have you. Things like pre-season headshots and team shots are always the time that you're thinking, oh, they're just going to have a guts full of me. But to be fair, all of them, you know, it's all, everything's done good natured. We're very lucky in that the people that we have around the team as well, helping out. So people like, now we've got OB, Pipey, they've been around the team for so long. They're so sort of part of the family, if you like, that, you know, they're able to sort of help. Even with the new guys coming in, it's always lovely because you see the new guys coming in, you see the changeover of players and maybe, you know, people around the team. It's always just a welcome in, and, you know, you go along. And that's one of the great things about going along to things like training sessions, is you get to know them away from the pitch, get to be able to start saying hello, you know, open that sort of relationship, if you like, with them, start sort of giving them a bit of grief about, you know, making sure that they celebrate on your side of the pitch, look out for you, you know, that sort of thing.
Love that. And I guess sort of switching from that idea of, you know, sort of celebrating on the side of the pitch, and, you know, what is a sort of typical match? I mean, I don't know if there is such a thing as a typical game day or a match day, but, you know, in terms of you and the sort of prep that you might do and thinking about, right, well, do I need to sort of stand in a certain place, or am I looking for a certain something, or do you just pitch up and shoot? You know, what do you do in terms of thinking about, you know, what's a typical match day for you, Nick? What is that?
I got to be honest, I'm a bit of a stickler for routine, and if I don't follow my routine, I get a bit sort of twitchy, to be honest with you, Ian.
Okay. What's the famous Nick Johns routine?
I like the night before, kit all laid out, ready. All the camera bodies get a clean, all the lenses get a clean, batteries get charged, they all get tested, the cards all get wiped, formatted, put back in, tested. I probably do that about 3 or 4 times the evening before, just because I know I won't sleep. it's a bit like locking the front door, you know. So kit all ready, things like waterproofs all packed in. More importantly, the tuck bag put in, because you can't be angry at the side of the pitch, you know. So I have all that ready. When I get, if it's home, I'll already know where I'm sitting. I get quite sort of itchy if I find there's somebody else sat in my seat. I'm really lucky that the stewards around Rodney Parade are fantastic. They tend to know where I sit, and they tend to keep that sort of little space put aside for me. And that's quite handy, because if players come in and that, then to celebrate, they tend to know where you're sat.
They know where you are, yeah.
Yeah. And then away days, again, been lucky, I've done most of the ground, so I've already got a sort of picture in my head of where I'm going to sit. I think most of us in the team, we all like to turn up early to get our kit set up, know where we are, and be prepared. It's nothing worse than sort of turning up and you're a bit sort of, ooh, it's going to be a bit of a rush.
Yeah.
So I like to be set up, have a couple of walks of the pitch beforehand, see where the fans are going to come in, get prepped up, ready for the players coming in for their sort of pre-match pitch walk. We'll have a bit of a chat with them as they come in, and some of the staff, meet up with the away day photographers. I usually have a bit of a chat with them, find out what's going on, if there's any changes to where you can sit, where you can't sit, any particular stewards that don't like you being in a particular area, walking across a particular area. And then obviously then once you get the sort of pre-match warm-up, we've got our own little routine of what photos we want, what video we want to take, and we'll have already planned that out between us and the media team for that sort of stuff then.
So again, I think a lot of people would have no idea of that range of prep and the thought that goes into it, and thinking about what you're going to want to get from that game. You know, I think it's really interesting. You mentioned there, like, the other photographers and stuff that you know are there. Is there sort of good camaraderie amongst the different snap? Is it toggers? Is that as I said that right? Is it toggers you call each other,
toggers,
or is it snap toggers? Right,
toggers. Yeah, toggers is slang really for a photographer that's doing it for the love of it, as opposed to a sort of full time job. You know, I wouldn't class anybody doing it as a full time job as anything other than a photographer. You know, but toggers are the guy who sort of turn up and they do it for the love of doing it. Really, it is great pitch side. You know, you have to help each other out, and very often, especially at League Two, you get youngsters coming through, or you get new people coming into it, so there's a bit of a, you know, helping each other out. The amount that we've all done it, where our stools have snapped when you've sort of got there, or some bit of kit's not quite right, and you're sort of panicking. And the amount of times, you know, I've been helped out, I've been lucky enough to help other people out. That's not just Elite Two photographers, that's also the bigger guys as well, the guys doing the stuff for the Nationals and stuff like that. Only once I had a negative, and that was really when I was starting out, but not since then, to be honest. I mean, we're very, very lucky around where we are in Newport. We've got some pros working around that have worked around the club for many years. Some of them were involved in the club as youngsters themselves before going on to professional careers. And God, I've learned so much from them, honestly. They've been so helpful, advice, support, even giving sort of, you know, feedback on things. We say, I don't quite know about this. Does it work or not? And they'll give you very honest feedback, which, you know, is truthful.
It's great, isn't it?
It is. It's very much, it's a bit of a family feel. I mean, it was getting better than when we were at Wembley for the last playoffs. And my seats, I was balanced on a camera, TV camera cable that was running right across where we were all sat. And the pop-up seats that the photographers use, they have to be on a flat surface. But I was sort of balanced on the edge of one and my seat snapped. And I thought, oh, great. And what am I supposed to do now? It was boiling hot day as well, side of Wembley. It was our playoff final. And one of the guys, Gareth, straight away, well, two of the guys actually, was one of the other local guys came over, right, you use my flight box, sit on this sort of thing straight away. It really is a really nice camaraderie about looking after each other.
Brilliant. And I think, you know, it's good to hear that. And I guess one of my things I'd say to any younger person listening to this, or if it goes out, is, I think most industries, so where I work and everything, like, most people want to help other people, you know. So if you're a young person making your way, ask people, you know, people will help, is what I generally find. So it's great to hear that that's the case as well. So talking of Wembley there, Nick, and talking of, you know, you've been to a lot of the grounds. Is there a fave for you? You've got a favourite ground to turn up at? Or is it the ground or how you're treated or...
Well, I've got to be honest, I've never been treated badly at any of the grounds, to be honest. I mean, I would say most of the northern grounds I love, just because it's just a much easier drive. It might be a longer drive, but it is just a much easier drive when you're driving up north. But also, I'm a big lover of old school football grounds, just at the likes of Luton, Accrington, Stanley. Absolutely love them, and like yourself, I do love a good floodlight as well. So any ground that's got a good floodlight is a fella for me. So, I mean, there's some of the grounds, the likes of Crewe, Port Vale, where I've become firm friends with the photographers up there. We're now family friends, and, you know, sort of meet up, and you know, it's always a great day when we get to sort of get up to their grounds or they come down to us. But yeah, Carlisle, I really love Carlisle. That's probably because I am a bit of a service station snob and I do love TBA services, but I'm really going to miss that ground this season.
Yeah,
always
me,
a great bizarrely. Welcome up there.
Yeah, agree.
Carlisle and the likes of Barrow as well. Heading down south, if anywhere towards London, Leighton Orient, we've always had a fantastic welcome at Leighton Orient, both from their media team and their photographer. If I had to pick one I disliked, and it's nothing to do with the welcome there because we had such a wonderful welcome, but Milton Keynes, because every time I photographed it, it's always been, it's such a lovely stadium. It looks fantastic when you stand in it looking up, but every time I photographed it, it's always been either empty or almost empty because we were there for COVID when it was empty. And then we went back there for, obviously, the famous Tuesday night cup tie.
Remember it's it just, well, Nick.
Yeah. Nothing more demoralising as a photographer when you've got just blanks and blanks.
Me to take a photograph, sipping, looking miserable, sipping Bovril.
Sorry to Will and Keith Dons. It's nothing to do with them at all. It's just, it just hasn't worked out. So I do look forward to the day we can go there. League One is packed out and I can get some proper photos with the stands packed full of fans.
I love that. Yeah, we call that ground on the pod, it's the bowl without a soul. That's what we call it. So that's I love that. I love that. Now, also, before we're going to just, you know, we'll wrap up in a second. But obviously, I know you are not just a football photographer, are you? Like, you, I mean, you are more than that. What's your, you're a bit of a twitcher as well. Is that right? Is that the right term? You like?
I am. I'm a bit of a twitching togger. Yeah, I love my nature, environment. And apologies to everybody who follows me on socials because they do, especially outside of football season, get blasted with lots of birds and nature pics and what have you. But I just love being out with the camera. So it's a nice excuse to get out, you know, do some walking. And it's always, I always say it's a bit of stress relief for me to sit and hide for 3 or 4 hours and not have to worry about anything other than getting really, really frustrated about photographing a tiny bird about 3 miles away. It's definitely much easier photographing footballers than it's birds, that's for sure.
If someone's listening to this thinking, oh, I'd like to do a bit of photography, what is there a little tip or a little bit of equipment or a starting point where you'd say, right, this is what I would do, this is where I would start? Any little tip for someone?
as you said, everybody's got cameras on their phones now, and it's such good quality, especially for social media. It's a fantastic way as well of cataloguing your life, you know, when and getting that sort of... I do it now. The amount of times I've been out with a 500mm lens, you know, a camera that weighs a ton, and I grab my phone out of my pocket and take a picture because it's just quick. It's just there, isn't it? So there's no snobbery with that. If your camera's there, photography is all about capturing the moment. And if that means using your phone to do it, then do it. You know, and I had somebody, one of the county supporters messaged me the other day, taking a photo on his phone. It looked fantastic, but it just wasn't quite what he wanted. And he was like, oh, do I edit this? So send it over. I'll have a quick play with it and send it back. So the most important thing, if you got it, take a copy of it on your phone. It's easy to duplicate it on your phone. And play about with it. Loads of different apps on it. You've got things that the phones themselves have got great editing apps, but things like Snapseed and things like that, free apps that you can use. They're fantastic just to have a sort of play. And, you know, for people who are trying to sort of get into it more, especially on the football side, then you said yourself, you know, get out there, talk to the people who are doing it. You know, we are all honestly quite friendly. Like I said, I've done it myself. You know, I still do it to this day. I still have to ask people. We learn every day. As you said, every day's a school day. The biggest thing is to get out there, go to your grassroots team, do a bit of volunteering, and just learn. Have a practice, have a play. Never be frightened to have a play. That's the great thing about digital photography. Delete it, start again, take another one.
I love that. It's a great place to wrap up, I think, Nick, on that point. Yeah, get out there and have a go if you're interested.
Yeah,
Nick, thanks so much for coming on and having a chat with us. I really appreciate it. And I think that I really hope that people who listen to this get a real insight into, you know, you're just one of many, many people who help support the club in all sorts of different ways. So thank you very much for that, Nick. And I will see you at some point, probably cold and wet, in a northern town somewhere during the season. So I really appreciate it. All the best, Nick.
Look
Cheers.
Forward to it. Take care.
So welcome to the north and a really early season visit to the north as it's mid-July. I don't really pay any attention to pre-season stuff, who's signed who, what's going on. But I saw that the Port were having a friendly up near me, well, sort of near me. So I've trundled down the M1 to Sheffield, well, North Derbyshire actually, to a village called Dronfield, just on the outskirts of Sheffield, where we are taking on Sheffield FC in a friendly. And I thought, I can't miss that. The world's oldest football club is Sheffield FC, for those who don't know. 1857 it started, so that's only 52 years before the Port was founded. I think they're in the 10th tier, possibly, something like that. I thought to myself, well, it'll be mid-July, we'll wander down here, it'll be nice t-shirt weather, can have a pint, and it'll be, we'll get a top of the tan. I'm in my full waterproofs. I've already had my first bovril of the season. It is grey, pretty cold, windy, and it's pouring with rain. So, brilliant start to this pre-season for me. And this will be my 43rd season watching the Port try and win football games. So, I'm not sure when my first league game is, but this is the start. This is the start of the season for me. Yeah, season 43. Nice little ground here. You know, it's very, very, very basic as you can imagine. But it's got some floodlights. Pitch looks all right. It'll be slick as anything because it's been pouring with rain all day. This is going to be a problem for me because I've got no idea who we've signed. I've got no idea who the trialists are. So working out what's going on in this game could be tricky. I'm going to give you the team as I know it. So hang on a second. So we've got Joe Day in goals. Then we've got trialist A. So the trialist family doing well. Mr. and Mrs. Trialist are happy. Trialist A is in today. Then Clark, Kyle Jameson, Shane McLaughlin, Scott Bennett, Uncle Bryn Morris, Will Evans, Harry Charlesley, Aaron Wildig, and the other member of the Mr. and Mrs. Charlie's family, Charlie's B, is on the subs bench. I don't know what formation that is, because that looks like we're playing like about 8 midfielders, as far as I can make out. So I've no idea. So we'll have a look when they get out, and we'll see what it's all about. Early stages, we're playing a bit of an unusual formation. We've got sort of
Bennett and Morris sort of sitting really in front of the sort of back three. Then we've got Will Evans and I think one of the trialists on the other side pushing up. And then we've got Wildig and Charles Lee sort of sitting, sort of advanced midfield behind the trialist up front. And Sheffield have taken the lead here against the runner play. To be fair, we've been knocking it around. It's tricky conditions. And they just managed to, at a set piece, got it into the near post and managed to squeak it in. So not great defending, to be honest. It's a good move by us there. Bring got a ball in the middle of the park, linked up well with Will Evans, swung it in. I thought it was going to be an own goal for a minute. It's gone out for a corner. Not much happening, really. Initial impressions of some of the new lads that I've seen. Kyle Jameson looks okay at the back. Big unit, looks pretty quick, looks fairly composed on the ball. And I do like the look of Bryn Morris, actually. In the park, he looks neat, he looks tidy. He's got a bit of vision about him. He's not afraid to get a tackle in, so I like the look of him. Difficult. McLaughlin hasn't done a huge amount. He's sort of playing right wing back. He's not done too much. And the trialist up front, who started off looking lively, not much has come from him since then. End of the first half, and Sheffield are one up. Not really a huge amount to report from that. We were neat and tidy. I like the look of Morris, look of Jameson. Morris, Charlesley and Wildig, you could see combining really well. And Will Evans is up and down this left-hand side really well. Trialists, not too much to show there. And the big issue, which could be an issue all season potentially, is not creating enough chances. So neat and tidy, no chances really. Error for the goal. But you know, Sheffield have been competitive. But yeah, one down. We need to step it up a bit. It's fair to say conditions here are pretty grim. So let's see what happens second half. We're out for the second half. One change for us. James Waite, the Wasp, has come on. He'll be buzzing around. Has he got any sting in him tonight? And he's taken Wildig's place, who's gone off. And he's pushing on. So he's playing sort of floating up front, really. Chance for the Wasp. Cut in from the right-hand side. Drifted past a couple of players to the edge of the box. Got a left-foot shot in, but hit the side netting. Couple more changes. So both of the trialists have gone off by the look of it. We brought on Kiban Rai up front for one of the trialists. Matty Bonswell, the lad from Newcastle United, has come on in place of the McLaughlin, I think. Not sure there. No, he's come on in place of Will Evans, sorry. And then Harrison Bright has come on in place of the trialist at the back. Lots of changes now, but there's no mic and PA on them, so we don't know who. I'm having a grapple here a bit. But Bowen's come on, and there's another trialist come on who Les is with me here. Long time. I haven't seen Les for years, but long time we've been going to grounds and seeing stuff together. Les has said he played at Under the other day, so he's a sort of right wing back trialist. So yeah, lots of shuffling of the decks here. I've worked out Bowen has come on for Morris. The trialist who played at Undy has come on for McLaughlin, so he's playing a sort of right wing back. So currently, there's three more subs coming on, so hang on a minute. Right, so Charlesley, Jameson and Bennett have gone off, and we've got at least two people who've come on who haven't got any numbers on their back. I don't know who they are. All three of the subs have come on, there's no numbers on their back, so I don't know who any of them are. What a commentator I would make. Cracking save by the Sheffield keeper there. We swung the ball over nicely from the right hand side, and Kiban Rai got in, got his head to it. It was looking as if he was going to go to the bottom corner. Keeper's turned it round the post. It was a really good save that. It's all a little bit disjointed second half for me, but I guess this is the classic pre-season, isn't it? You throw loads of players on and hope that some of them stick. But yeah, a bit disjointed. So we're at the end of the 90, 1-0 defeat. Yeah, I don't know what to make of that, really. I mean, it's a workout. There's an awful lot of players put the shirt on. we looked a little bit lightweight in terms of physique, neat and tidy in places. I think we need a bit more physicality in there. Didn't really create enough. Kevan Rye looked good when he came on, to be fair to him. Had a really good header that was well saved. Other than that, I liked Morris in the middle until he went off. He looked tidy. So Morris and Jameson looked good for the new ones. That many changes, it's really hard to get any form of coherence from that. But right, onwards and upwards. At some point, I'll see you in another northern town.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.